Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, please. Thankful to be here this evening.
Amen.
Me too. Let's bow our heads. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity once more you've given us, Lord, to gather in this precious place with our brothers and sisters, Lord, around your word. Lord, we count it a grand opportunity. Lord, we don't want to take it for granted, Lord. We pray we'll climb higher in you this night, Lord. Be closer to thee when we leave than when we came in, Lord. We just ask that you have your preeminence in this service, Lord. May everything that's said and done be for your glory and honor. We commit all into your hands. We ask it in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn only to leave books to 453. Let the Lord have his way.
Oh, let the Lord have his way in your heart every day. There's no peace until the Lord has his way. Oh, bless your life in his hands and rest secure.
Let's turn to 589. I can't even walk without him.
Oh, I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I without you.
found that to be the truth. Amen. Let's turn 266, same book. Because he lives. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. So good to us, saints. I love him. Appreciate him. This time, I ask Brother Hamilton, would you come for the offering, please?
God, you put in our hearts to serve you.
Yes.
Pray your blessed service, bless this offering for that prayer and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Let's sing, I Want to Live, the way He wants me to live.
I want to live the way.
Is there anybody have a prayer request on their heart, anything, any need in their life? Anyone wants to remember those? Brother Dillon, let's take a rest.
Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we again come before you and present our needs back to you, and you knowing already what it is.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I trust that the greatest desire in our hearts is to have greater revelation. And Father, a greater moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives for your leadership and your guidance, and that you'd have a greater preeminence in our lives. And then, Lord, anything else of healing, and Lord, those that's sick and afflicted, we ask that you would touch them, Lord Jesus, and heal their bodies and make them whole. Lord, there's some standing here tonight with me that needs a touch from you, Lord. And Lord Jesus, by faith, they can reach out and claim that which belongs to him, Father. And Lord, we pray that you'll just open our hearts to whatever you want now in our lives. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for Michael and my little great niece and his cousin, Lord, together. We pray, oh God, that you continue to deal with our hearts now. And Father, if that little seed's laying in there, we know you'll draw on them, Father. So we trust that you'll just, Lord, help us to do our part. Father, will do whatever is pleasing to you in that situation. So we appreciate that now and appreciate what you've done for them thus far. And Lord, any of our loved ones, Father, I'm sure we all have loved ones here that still hasn't come in. And, oh God, we've got brothers and sisters, Lord, and family that need you, Lord. And we trust, oh God, the hour is late. But Father, we never quit praying for them. We want to uphold them before you and trusting, oh God, that one day you'll get a hold of them before it's too late. So we pray that you'll do that, Father, and help us to understand all these things in a greater way. So we pray for the brother, Lord, as he brings forth the word tonight. Make it easy for him and help him to just be relaxed. And Lord, let him know we're pulling on him. And Lord, to hear that precious word of God. And just, Father, feed our hungry soul. We want to make sure everything is just right for you. Everything. So we pray thy will be done now as we wait on you to have your way in the remainder of service. In your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Anyone have a song in their heart tonight that you'd like to sing? Anybody at all? Sister Emma? Okay, at this time, let's stand. We'll sing, Lord, Prepare Me, as we ask our brother to come deliver the word.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
heads. Lord, that's truly our heart's desire, Lord, is that you would prepare us to be a sanctuary. Lord, tried and true. That, Lord, we would bring glory to your name. And, Lord, that our lives would truly reflect you in this last hour. And, Lord, once more, we've come tonight, Lord, together in around your precious word. Lord, just asking you to speak to us through these precious scriptures. Lord, you know the purpose for each and everything we speak, Lord. And, Lord, we just ask that it would help someone along the way. That, Lord, we would be closer drawn to you, Lord, and have more trust in you, Lord. That you could lead us and guide us in the paths you would take us. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it. In the lovely, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful?
Yes, he is.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter, just take a little exhortation for a Sunday evening. Amen. I pray it's not too chopped up. There's many, many things you could read, but just trying to shorten it up so we get enough time, and I try to slow down a little bit. Sometimes I get to going too fast. Amen. God knows us all about us. Amen. You know, I'm so thankful as our brother read the scripture this morning, how he left the 99 to go look for that one. I thank God for the day I was that one he was looking for. Amen. Each one of us can place ourselves in those scriptures, and what a great assurance it ought to bring in our hearts. But here in 1 Peter in the 5th chapter, let's start here at the 5th verse. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. So glad he does. May the Lord bless him in his word, and you may be seated. Amen. Just so thankful for what God is doing for us. Amen. And we're going to turn over to the book of Deuteronomy and read a few verses if you'd like to follow me. Amen. Just thinking that how God is always mindful and always watching over us and the many promises that he's left us. And how he went searching for us, he found us, as our brother was mentioning. Just can't think how that after that, that's only the beginning. He doesn't forget us about us once we get in the fold. He's ever mindful to make sure we're still growing, to reach the maturity, and to make sure we bear the wool that we should be bearing on the outside. In Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, God speaking to Israel here before, and listen at the things he said to them. And I want you to think about that. He careth for you. Amen. Now, each one of us are in different phases of our lives. And we're all going to face obstacles, and we're going to face mighty trials. And if the Lord should tarry till tomorrow, who knows what we may face. And each one of us, it could be different things. But I want you to listen to Israel here as they was journeyed out of Egypt, and God had told him he'd give them a land. But I want you to, he'd promised them he'd give it to them. But listen to him as he begins to speak here. And he says, and when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Amen. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you and against your enemies to save you. And I want you to look back. Now we can look back because that day's come and gone. But we can look back and see what God done for them. And see that God kept his word to the letter. All the way down through. Amen. All the way. You can see it revealed in the scriptures. And you know, today we're standing here, we face a little different style of battles. We may not fight with swords and spears, but every day we're battling. Every day Satan is trying all he can to divert and to tear down and to say we're not able to achieve what God has set forth for us. But God didn't ask us to put our trust in our own selves or in anything else. But he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. In the same way he talked to Israel. Each one of us, as we said here tonight, God has called us. As our brother brought this morning, each one of us can say, we felt that drawing. He come looking for me. And he found me. And he's brought me this far. Now the battles that I may face going forward may be more harder. And they may be stronger than those that are behind me. But I know God is leading. And I know if I put my trust and faith in him, he will bear out and bring all things to his good. And to my good for loving him. Amen. Let's turn over here to Mark 5, if you would. We're going to read some examples that have happened in the past to different ones. And just see God's mighty hand at work. Mark, the 5th chapter. Amen. In Mark 5, and we're going to start about the 21st verse and read some scripture here. Mark 5 and 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him and was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell down at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And I want you to put yourself in this situation. We've all read these scriptures, but let's just go a little different avenue tonight. But place yourself in this man's situation. He's got a daughter lying at the point of death. And the only one he knew could help him, he made it to him. And he got there and he fell down and he said, oh, if you only come. But I want you to think and stop and look. It says, but there were so many people thronged about him. Multitudes. And all in this man's heart, you can imagine how urgently he was wanting to get back to that little girl. You can imagine how fast he wanted Jesus to go. You can imagine the pressure that was on him. Don't stop. Don't talk to nobody. Come with me. But I want you to look here then at the next verse. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, all that she had was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, come in the press behind him, touched his garment. And she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself virtue had gone from him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now think, here's this man that's with Jesus going to get his daughter prayed for. And Jesus has stopped everything, stopped the crowd. There's no more moving. There's no more headed towards his daughter now. And think of the urgency that must be getting in this man's heart. Oh my. But God works on time all the time. And we only see what's happening at the moment. We don't see what God can see at the end of the road. And sometimes we get a little impatient. I need God to move. I need this to happen, and I need it to happen now, but God knows exactly what must happen first. Amen. And I just want you to think of something, just to show you. Now, I don't know if Brother DeLong knew his nephew was going to be here this morning or not, Thursday night when he told us he had a message he wanted to bring. And see, he knew what God had laid on his heart, and he thought this Sunday morning was that morning. And he said, Lord willing, I'm going to bring that message. Now, we need that message. God knows we need it, or he wouldn't lay it on our brother's heart. But there was something else that got in the way this morning for a purpose. God knows all about it. But look how God moves. Here we, Brother DeLong was studied up. He had his message. He thought, boy, it's what God's want. I filled with the press in his heart to bring it. But all of a sudden, God had a little different plan this morning. And see, God moves, and we don't know the purpose for that. But God knows everything. He knows maybe I wasn't in the right condition this morning to receive what he had for me. And he knew he needs one more week. God knows. Yes, he does. God see these things all happen. But as we look at situations, we may think, oh, I can't believe this and that. And just so put yourself back here. This man, now here this little woman, she had faith. She reached out, got a hold of his garment. And oh, you can imagine the rejoicing that was taking place in her heart. God had made her whole. And those that might have known her and been there with her, they was having a rejoicing time. And this little man's still standing over here and his heart's just burning. Oh, but my daughter's dying and I need you. But Jesus, there's no urgency in him. He took his time. He turned around. Who touched me? Mm-hmm. He wanted to know. He had a purpose. Yes, he did. And he says, Jesus, immediately knowing himself, the virtue had gone from him, he turned in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, saying, thou who touchest me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Oh, the rejoicing. I'm sure there was a lot of rejoicing taking place. This, Jesus is speaking this, but here stands this little man. Oh, there's still a burden in his heart. Yes. And then at that time, while he yet spake, there came the ruler out of the synagogue's house of certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, because you can imagine that father's heart just sank. Amen. You can imagine how he felt. But Jesus, knowing all things, just turned around to him and very calmly said, be not afraid, but only believe. Amen. And oh my, what a statement. If we could but put ourselves into the rest of the hands of God, we might have many situations going on around us, and we might feel a mighty urgency for the situation that's at hand that I can see. But God knows all things, and he's given us his word. And as our brother's been bringing, waiting on the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we must learn that it's not what I want or what I feel, but I've got to make sure I'm giving God an opportunity to let him lead me in the direction he wants to take me. Because it's not always what I need or what I want, but God is here to prove that he is still God. Amen. He is the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He knows it all. He set it in order. Amen, and he's placed it in an order. Let me read you something Brother Branham said here. Just real quick, this is in the message, Faith, preached in 1956, just to catch a little something. He says, he's talking about himself. He says, look at what a little 40 years has done to me. Getting to be an old man, stoop-shouldered, wrinkled face, bald-headed. Oh, but the morning star hasn't lost one glimmer since the day God placed it in the sky. And the Bible said, we'll outshine the stars someday. What you scared about, God promised it and swore it by an oath of Christ he would do it, and he called you by sovereign grace and elected you before the foundation of the world. Why was Christ called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? God in the beginning, when he saw what Satan had done and had perverted what he had made, Satan can't create, you know, but everything that Satan's got, he perverted something that belonged to God. That's right, he perverted it. And when he saw what he had done, God first began to think, oh, my brother DeLong mentioned it this morning, you thoughts of God. Everything Satan's got, he said, that's right, he perverted. But when he saw what he had done, God first began to think, oh my, and that's when he saw you. Amen. I want you to think about that. He didn't see you when you was born here. He saw you before the earth you're walking on was formed. Amen. Let that be a reality to you. Amen. He says, and that's when he saw me. Amen. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is the Word? A word is a thought expressed. So then as long as it was a thought, it wasn't materialized. It wasn't. It couldn't be yet. But when God once expressed it, it was good as finished right then. Oh my, that would make a Pentecostal shout. Think of it. Think of it. God, before the foundation of the world, he saw you. You wasn't there, but you was in his mind, and he saw. Therefore, foreknowledge he could foretell. And that's the reason he likened his prophets to eagles. They go way up in the sunlight before he ever gets there. Isn't he wonderful? He says, think of it. There'll be a time, one of these days, when this whole world is struck by the atomic power. She's laying out there turning around in space and howling hot sands of the blast when she's thrown into the sun this time. But the first time it was thrown away from the sun, which caused the water, the heat through the cold. And this time it'll be thrown into the sun, all bursted up and blowed over, and the wind will howl. And your tombstone may shine up through that sand, but you'll be somewhere. But think, by sovereign grace of God has given you the opportunity to come to him. Think of it. No wonder when the oceans has wept themselves into the deserts, he will still be the loving God. When the moon and stars will fail to shine, he will still be God. Amen. He said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Amen. And he said, a thought is but a word expressed. A word is but a thought expressed. And look what we are tonight by God's grace, each one of us, sitting here, taking this in. So God knows our path. He knows our journey. But let's not get ahead of him. Don't get too antsy in ourselves that we try to solve something before God wants to solve it. God has a time and a place and a plan. And if we'll just lean on him, he is there. He has everything in his control. But we must be patient. We must learn to wait upon him and not get ahead of him. And oh my, give God a chance to move. Let's go here to Luke, the 12th chapter. Amen. Let me make sure I got these written in the right order. Amen. Luke 12. But just to prove how great this God is, I want you to think about this scripture. Jesus speaking to the disciples in Luke 12. And so Jesus begins to speak to him. He says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, and this is the first verse, number of multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another. And he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friend, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed you hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And oh my, how great he is. When you stop to think about it. But he goes on to say, but are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I want you to think how God put that. And you know, Brother Branham made a little comment about that in a message way back. It was preached in 59, Be Certain of God. And I like how he kind of tied this in with that. He says, this is page 57. This was preached July 8th, 59. Here the other night I was combing the 2 or 3 hairs I got left. And my wife said to me, Billy, she's sitting there laughing at me now. She said, Billy, you're almost bald-headed. And I said, I haven't lost a one of them. She said, pray tell me where they're at. He said, you tell me where they was before I got them, and I will tell you where they're waiting for me. The Bible said the hairs of your head is numbered, and not one of them shall perish. There was a time they wasn't nothing, and then they was. And they went back to where they was before I had them. So will this body be someday. The calcium and the potash will go back, but God will speak, and I'll jump from the earth. That's my God. He holds the whole world in his hands and just, he blew the stars off and made the solar system. Spoke his word and it was so. The very dirt that you're setting over is his word made manifest. If it didn't, where did it come from? The dirt you're walking on is his word made manifest. He said, let there be. And there was. And I believe every word that he has said is truth. No matter how long it lingers, it is so anyhow. And oh, how that ought to just put such assurance in our hearts. Of what God has promised us, God is more than able to perform. He's going to bring to pass every word. We're going to see it happen. Maybe I have a need in my body. Maybe God's promise is laying there. Keep looking at the promise and keep asking God for the revelation that'll bring that promise to pass in your life. God knows when and where and how to do it. Amen. Well, let's turn over here to Matthew 14, if you would. Amen. And we'll start here at the, just look how God's got everything in his plan. That's it. I want you to notice every situation, he's the master of it all. Humans get so frustrated when things go wrong. And our paths and our lives get shook up. It's just human nature to fall apart. And I've been guilty of that. You know, if situations happen, it's out of your control, and you get to worry, how am I going to take care of this, and how am I going to make that happen, and I got to get this over here. And my wife knows when I was a young person, I was really, really antsy. Amen. God's brought me a long way, and he's still got more to go, but I'm going to get there by his grace. But you know, we grow, and we continue to grow. But oh my, what God has done for each of us. But look here at these situations. Matthew 14 and the 13th verse. When Jesus heard of it, he departed whence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, The time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And just put yourselves in their situation. 5,000 people sitting on a hillside and 12 disciples. Even in the natural, just stop to think how long it would take 12 people to serve 5,000. So you can imagine how them disciples must have felt in their own selves. And I'm sure they probably was each one looking at their own brothers there perplexed. Us feed them? And you can just imagine the human mind at this time, how they were thinking. But God doesn't think like we think. And he sat there and he said, you feed them. And they said, but we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat. They all did eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And then that they that had eaten were 5,000 men besides women and children. Now God was showing something here.
Yes, he was.
He was proving to these disciples at that time. He knew he could only be with them for a small amount of time and he had to go away. But he was going to send him a comforter, and that's why he told him when he left, go up to that upper room and you wait. But God was proving to him while he was here with them, what I say will come to pass. Everything that I've told you, it's going to happen just like I said. He was proving to him that he was God. And he was the great I am. So then, and straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, from the wind was contrary. Now it's dark. They're in the middle of the sea in a boat. And we often read this, that Jesus came walking on the water, and we think, my, he was walking on the water. But Jesus knew exactly where that boat was sitting, in the middle of that sea. Just think of it, saints. He knew all along. He's up there praying. He knew that waves was taking place out there. He knew that ship was in bad shape. And oh my, I'm sure the disciples were very afeared, scared. Oh, if you've never been in a boat on a bad storm, you don't know what that feeling's like. But oh my, I'm telling you, they were scared. But Jesus let all of these things happen because he was proven to them that he is the master of the wind. He can control all storms. There's nothing that's happening that he don't know that it's taking place. You know, Brother Branham dramatized it with the Hebrew children going into the fiery furnace. Daniel into the lion's den. It didn't look like God was doing much. But God knew every step they was taking, the closer they got to that fiery furnace. And the closer they got, the more heat he turned out of it. To make sure that when they went in there, it didn't harm them a bit. But the ones that threw them in, it burnt them up. God's watching every situation of his righteous preordained people. The footsteps of the righteous. He's watching us. He knows we may be able to look at our lives right now and look back 5 years and say, look what a mess I was in. Look what I've already come through. And maybe I've got this far with a joy in my heart, and all of a sudden there's another mountain in front of me that's bigger than the one I passed over. But oh my, don't look at the obstacles. Look at the one that's leading us. Amen. He didn't, and we don't ask him to take them away, but to take us through them. Because he is here to prove by me and by you that he is still God. He's got a people that he can express through. A people that can prove that there's no obstacle too great that he can't control. Amen. We're still that people. He's still God. He hasn't changed. He'll remain the same. But oh my, we need a faith in him that will not waver. That we would be that strong people that would stand there against any storm. And our faith in him is will hold us rock steady no matter what happens. Amen. And he goes here, he says, but when he had sent the multitude to come down, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And oh my, if you'll go back through the scriptures and just search, Brother Branham preached that message quite a few times, be not afraid. But go back through these scriptures and search how many times God has told someone in here, be not afraid. All back through. And oh my, how that ought to bring such a consolation into our heart when we can look back and we can see all that God has already done. And then I can see what God's already done in my life to this point. Tomorrow might be a large mountain. Tomorrow might be a greater, worse time than I've ever faced. But he's still God. He's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. He's God in the good times. He's God in the bad time. But he's still God. He's still holding there. And he's looking for a people that can hold him to that standard. They don't lose faith in him. They don't lose their confidence. But they hold true and they stand right there with a joy in their heart. Though they may be driven to their knees, they're still holding on that, God, I know you said and you promised me in your word that you would work all things for the good of them that loved you. Yes, amen. He didn't promise to give us our wants, but he promised to meet our needs. Yes, amen. And he's never failed to do so. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read this little. This is in Show Us the Father and It Suffices. This was preached on August 19th of 1950. Paragraph 26, and Brother Branham speaking a little bit here about nature. He says, recently I was watching, I love birds, and I was watching some eagles here not long ago when I was on a fishing trip, an old mother eagle sitting way up on top of a mountain. And she threw her wings out, and the little eagles caught hold of her wings, and she went down into the valley. It was the first time they'd ever been out of the old nest. Reminds me there, could you see God there? Yes, a sinner? No, that's kind of, did you ever, the things to the world is like an eagle's nest full of sticks, thorns, and vomit. The eagles are regurgitators. They vomit their food and it smells. And a sinner that's living in the nest of the world among the vomit of the world, bar rooms, walking around, knowing nothing about anything else but the old nest of the world. But then I seen her take her little ones, and they caught hold of her wings, and she went down the mountain into the valley. And she throwed out her big wings, and the little eagles let loose, and they began to run around. Their little feet touched the first time upon the soft ground and upon the grass. They eat green grass. He leads me beside still water. Oh, my, how glorious and wonderful. Then notice closely, they did that. Then the little eagles, the old mother eagle, when she seen, she went plumb back to the top of the mountain again and sat down upon the rocks and began to look down, watching over those little eagles. And I began to think, my, doesn't that seem like, notice close now, the old mother sitting up there began to watch, and I thought, how glorious that Jesus came, taking us out of the things of the world and put us out in this glorious freedom out here. And them little eagles running carefree, eating grass and so forth, just like a glorious old-time Holy Ghost meeting, when the saints of God have come out of the things of the world down to the green carpet of God's blessings, carefree. And our Savior has climbed to the ramparts of glory. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. He knows everything, all times. He knows what's wrong with you. And there she was watching, and I noticed her, and I picked her up with my binoculars, and I seen her turn her big head sideways and look, and I thought, what's the matter? She's sitting, watching over those little eagles. And there is God in his creation again, God in his universe. I thought, what would happen if a coyote would happen to run in towards those little eagles? What would take place? Well, that old mother would be there after them in a moment. And after a while, I seen her hold her head up, and she looked up, and she made a squall. And all at once she darted from that mountain down into the valley. And when she went down there, she threw forth those great majestic wings and let out a scream. And when she did, every one of those little eagles left off eating and run as quickly as they could to their mother. Grabbed their little bill, hold of her wings like that with their bill and put their little feet in them wings. And I wondered what was the matter. I couldn't see it yet. But across the mountain come a hurricane that she could smell in the air and knew it was coming. And she was watching over her brood. And then, before she could get off the ground, that storm was already sweeping down through the hollow. And when she did, she pierced that storm, blowing at 60 miles an hour. Those little eagles holding on to the mother's wings, and right into the cleft of the rock she went. And I thought, oh God, one of these hours, there's coming a scream from heaven. The trumpet of God shall sound, and every Christian shall fly onto those wings of the old rugged cross, piercing the storms of life into the cleft of the rock, Jesus Christ. God is in nature, watching him in his universe. And just in a moment, how he can take us, no matter how hard the trial is, just hold on to his wings and he'll bear you away. And watch God in his birds and how he cares for it. And watch God in the sunset. And I want you to think of that. How Brother Branham said he couldn't see that storm. He couldn't see it. But that big mother eagle, she could sense it. And down off of there she come and she got her young. And we may sit here tonight and we don't know what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. But God does. And he sees maybe what's coming. And that's why we hear messages that we hear. That's still God's way of dealing and talking to us. He lays a message on a pastor's heart. At the time the pastor says, I don't really know why I'm bringing it. He comes. The message comes forth. Might be 2 weeks. Might be a month. Might be a year. But that message fortified that little bride for the time that was coming. God moves on time every time to make sure that it's going to work out to his glory and to his honor. Oh, he's not going to leave us nor forsake us. He's watching over us all the time. But we've got to keep our trust in him. We've got to keep our faith in him. Not in my own ideas of how I think the situation should be handled or how I would deal with it. But how the word shows me I should deal with it. In every situation. And how we should move forward. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. And I'm going to turn over here to Matthew the 6th chapter and read one more scripture before we dismiss. Amen. But God is ever mindful. Watching over us, saints. There's been many a times that life looked mighty bleak for many of us. Maybe the situation at the time just seemed like it was out of control. It seemed like it was utter despair. But God's looking at the end. And it may take many a things. Look at old Samson sitting down there with his eyes poked out, sitting in that cell. It looked like God had deserted the situation. It looked like God had left the scene, but he killed more that day than all the rest of his life. God knew what it would take, and God moved when it was time. That's why Samson was sent. It was God's tool for the time and place. And you can look back at all of God's tools, all of the men of old, the prophets. It might have looked like God had forsaken them. It may have looked like he had forsaken the young Christians of old, as our pastor was mentioning them the other night. But God had a time and a purpose for everything that has taken place. And it happened right in tune with what he wanted. And every time we can look back, and there's not one time you can look back and say it didn't work out the way God wanted it to happen. You can't find that place. Because every time God's preordered it to happen, it's happened exactly the way he said it would. Amen. Here in Matthew 6, I'm going to start at the 25th verse. Amen. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is it not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Oh my. And I believe that goes right in tune with what our pastor has been trying to show us. If we'll seek his will in our life first, everything else will fall in its place. It may not be the car that you wanted to drive, but you'll have a car to get where we need to go. May not be the house that you thought you should live in, but you'll have a roof over your head. May not be the job that you dreamed of having, but he'll see that you've got work to provide for your own. And all my, the grace and the peace that you can have in your heart. Amen. Oh, it's worth it all to be his child. Sure. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. I pray something there to draw us strength from. Something to help us, encourage us along the way. God knows all about it. Amen. As our pastor comes, let's sing that little chorus, he cares for you. Amen. He careth for you. He careth for you.
All through sunshine or shadow,
He careth for you. Sing it again. Yes, He careth for you. He careth for you. Through sunshine or shadows, He
good to know that He cares for us. Amen. And you can see it in your life, all down through your life, how He's cared for you. You know, and there's many times that we went through things in life that you wonder how you ever got mixed up in, or why this had to happen, or why this took place like it did. And then, but you see it come to the head and then see how God worked it all out. You know, at the time you may have been fretting and just couldn't, you're getting all nervous, couldn't figure out what to do. But all the time, God knew exactly what He was going to do, you know. But it's the triangle of our faith. It's more precious than gold. Amen. I'm so thankful to know that He's the all-seeing eye that watches over us. Amen. And how true that is in our lives. It's just God's amazing grace. Amen. I enjoyed that tonight. I enjoyed it really good. Amen. Appreciate our brother helping us out like that. It's just a wonderful blessing to me. I greatly appreciate. I appreciate you, brothers, what you done again yesterday, and getting the room started out there and so forth. May God bless you on that. Amen. But by God's grace, we'll get it put together. Amen. And maybe eventually get a little extra room in here if we need it. So, and again, let's just uphold each other in prayer, saints. Ain't nothing wrong with that, is there? Just keep praying for each other, that God will deal with each one of our hearts to draw us closer to Him and understand the great plan of God. You know, and I was thinking about that today, and like Brother Timothy was talking about, you know, it's I didn't bring the message this morning. I was intended to and planning on, but, you know, when I look at the whole picture, and I think, well, you know, even maybe somebody here with us, what we brought today was still just an extra boost to get it ready for that. Amen. See, God knows all these things. He sure does, you know. And like I said, I'll be praying for my nephew there. You know, he's a good sign was he thought it was way too short. Thought, wow, at least he must not have been sitting there and thinking, I can't wait to get out of here, you know. And he said he definitely will be back. And he didn't know if it would be this coming Sunday or Sunday after, so. Just pray, God, if there's a seed laying in there, you know. Amen. And then that might be a way to get his daddy in here, you know, my oldest brother. So that'd be wonderful. Amen. I'd love to see all my brothers and my sisters saved. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I love you. You're just so precious. We see you, Lord, do so many things. Yeah, we may not see things happen like happened when the prophet was here. All those great, mighty healings and powerful things. But, Lord, we see things as just as important. Yes. Take place in our lives and the things that you do. And we know that you live. Thank you so much, Lord, for your mercy and grace. We ask, Lord, again that you would continue to help us and help us to understand and give us revelation of the Word of God. We just want to be more like you, Lord. I don't know how else to say it, but you you're so great and so wonderful. We pray now that you'll go with us and bring us back again the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, and again, my heart's kind of twixt between now, Lord. I don't know whether to bring that message Thursday night. But if not, Lord, you just lay upon my heart because I don't want anybody to miss it. But Lord, if there's something else that maybe we need to bring before that, then we'll do that. Whatever your will is, I'm at your disposal, Lord, whatever you want. So I pray now thy will be done and guide me, lead me by thy Holy Spirit. Bless these people again, Lord. Watch over them, keep them safe. Keep your hand upon Paul and Heather as they travel home. And bless them, Lord, for being here today and the effort they brought forth to be here. Thy will be done now in our lives. In your glorious name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that again. He cared for you. Do you believe that? I know it's true. Amen. He cared for you. He yeah.